This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
We are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, they also made blood pudding. I don't really like them.
The British and their tastes and stuff. Yeah, no, they do weird stuff, man.
Yeah, I'm not into the whole thing.
Especially to have been in charge. Do you know what I mean? Like, they
You suck. How are you running it? That's for sure.
Yeah, y'all eat like the slaves, and that don't make sense. Like, black people are true. You know what I mean?
Black Why are people you had, eating the scraps, baby?
They had to take the scraps. Why are you choosing the fucking scraps?
You started out with blood sausage, you idiot.
Yeah, you're just fucking weird, man. Come on. God, you could just do regular, not bloody sausages.
Ugh.
Give your meat a good old rub.
Yep, we're back. That's the perfect way to come back. We're back here for part two of My Mama Told Me's holiday special.
Extravaganza.
There's goddamn streamers strung all around us, and I don't know what you do.
Yeah, bring us some figgy pudding, bitch.
Oh, figgy pudding. Have you had figgy pudding?
No, I don't know what it is.
I don't either.
I only know in the context of that song.
I'm not going to lie. It sounds pretty good. It sounds like some shit I would fuck around with.
I like banana pudding and I like Fig Newtons. So if it's anywhere like some kind of weird mixed breed of that, I would fuck with it.
That would be crazy.
That would be crazy, right?
Yeah.
Damn.
What if the reason we've never had figgy pudding is because it's so good that they had to like truly like wipe it off the map?
They had to take it out?
Yeah, they were like, this is out of control, delicious, and it's tearing families apart type shit.
That's interesting, because not a lot of foods die like that, right?
No, but I bet.
Figgy pudding just died.
I bet we don't know why, you know, for a reason. Olivia is saying figgy pudding is a pudding in the British sense of the word, which means it is a steamed cake-like dessert.
Wait, it's a cake?
Yeah, it sounded.
They are so dumb about food. Man, the British need to kill yourself. Stop eating food, maybe, because you're bad at it.
Oof.
Beans for breakfast? I'll kill you.
We're getting more information here. This particular Christmas version is traditionally made with sweat, which is raw beef or mutton fat, eggs, brown sugar, breadcrumbs, spices, dried fruits, and last but certainly not least, brandy. British had bad taste in food is what Olivia said.
I don't know. When you say all those things together, I'm not mad at it again.
I didn't like the raw beef or mutton fat, and then I started liking it as we went along.
Yeah, and then they topped it off with some E&J.
Which we know for a fact is a sponsor of the episode. Thank you.
Yeah, that's from day one. That's from day one. We are brought to you by the Irk and the Jerk or Eastside Juice. I don't know where you're from.
Ernestine and Jamal. I think.
You come for the Ernestine, you stay for the Jamal.
You stay for the Jamal. But no, I'm going to kick us off a little more into some of this research, but I think we should also open this up. You talked about this over the break, that we should probably open this conversation up to a lot of holiday traditions that sort of deal in, I think, just race and community and people's behaviors, if you will.
Yeah, I like that. Because racially, people are weird on Christmas. Germans are hiding pickles. Like, there's all kinds of weird shit going on.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people are doing some odd shit in celebration of a thing that we feel like is a little more standardized than they're treating it.
Yeah, I don't even know if uniform... What is... Okay, wait. Anyway, I want to know, do you have information on... Did he die around Christmas?
So he died on December 6th. That was the original sort of like death day.
So today.
But yeah, he died today. That's wow. That's beautiful. Here we are recording December 6th, and this is the day St. Nicholas died. Let's pour one up for him.
Yeah.
Why don't you drop something for my man St. Nicholas to let him know?
You're the man now, dog.
Yeah.
Wait, I can do better than that. I can do better.
Okay, but that was pretty good. Let's see what else happens.
Okay. Well,
no, give us. No, you can do better.
I can't do better than that. All right, this goes out to you.
Yeah.
St. Nicholas. Sant Niklaus. How did you say it?
Sinterklaus.
Sinterklaus. Why are you coming home? Five in the
morning. Something's going on. Can I smell your dick? Trying to smell your dick in heaven, dog.
Hey.
One time for Sinterklaus.
Okay, so wait. So when all these Dutch people had this party, that was December 6th.
Yeah, they were going out and partying December 6th every time. And then in 1809, this dude, Washington Irving, basically helped to popularize Sinterklaas stories. No, although what you're thinking of is my boy Clement Clark Moore, who wrote "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" in 1822, which ultimately ends up giving us the current iteration of Santa Claus, the chubby, sort of jolly, fat, riding around on reindeer, climbing up chimneys Santa Claus. Right. But this dude, Washington Irving, in 1809, basically starts describing Santa Claus, but he's describing him originally as like a rascal with a blue cornered, three-cornered hat, red waistcoat, and yellow stockings.
See, I like that a little better. I don't know why, but it sounds like pimping.
Yeah, he's tacky. He's got,
my three-cornered hat on. But you can't tell me. I thought a two-cornered hat bitch said something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he said my man's a rascal. He's sticking thumbs up people's butts. You know what I mean?
I got these yellow tights on. You ain't telling me shit.
What you gonna do about it, motherfucker? You dealing with St. Nicholas.
Santa Claus. I can't remember the name already.
Sinterklaus.
Sinterklaus.
Yeah. You'll fuck it up again, I'm sure.
Yeah, it'll be all right. It's my holiday too. So, what was he doing when he was a rascal? I like that better.
So they weren't really like super specific about the rascal of it all, but it just doesn't sound like a dude who's like walking around as much like giving away gifts as he is like a little more elfish, if that makes sense.
Okay. See, that's fun. I would rather it be like Christmas time pranks.
Yeah.
That I would be into that. The 12 pranks of Christmas or something. You know, we're in the writer's room, but.
Yeah, he puts like he gives you a wet willy, and then afterwards he's like, I got you something. No.
Yeah.
I got you a little something. I love you. You're a cool guy. Come on, give me a kiss. Come on.
Come on, baby. It's me, baby.
It's me, Santa Claus.
Yeah, one for each corner of this hat. All right, I like this.
He shows up with the hat around his waist. He's like, uh-oh, the hat's down here now. Gonna have to do some more kisses.
Yeah, kiss around it.
Yeah, so he was more of a fun guy with a blue hat before old Clement Clark Moore gets involved with "Twas the Night Before Christmas," which is the poem that tells us that he's this big fat dude. And before then, he's like a Turkish silly billy.
He also introduced like the reindeer and stuff too, right?
Yeah, he introduced the reindeer. He introduced the chimney climbing, all that stuff.
That was a big shot, like, from a man, like...
You know, it really was. And frankly, it feels like almost like how Dracula is now our depiction of vampires in a way. You know right. what I mean? Where it's like...
Yeah, definitely.
One dude was like, yeah, they all got those Eddie Munster haircuts and
yeah,
like,
and we're always
shoulder
like, oh,
pads.
And the high collars and the red. Yeah. We're like, oh, that's what they look like. Yo, does he get his credit for inventing Santa?
I don't think so. I've never shouted him out. I never been one time for my boy. Hold on, we could do it though. Give shout out my boy one time for my boy Clement Clark Moore from "Twas the Night Before Christmas." We love you.
You're the man now, dog.
Hell yeah. We honor you on this day, St. Nicholas's death day as well, because you made him look less Asian than he was before.
You took and somehow made him fat, which I don't think there was as many fat guys back then, so that was a defining trait.
Yeah, you went out of your way to be like, this dude eats like a motherfucker.
And then gave him reindeer, which aren't indigenous to the United States?
Nah, you're like,
was it an American guy who wrote that?
I believe so. Yeah, it was an American dude.
That's a real crazy.
Well, remember Santa? I think Santa lived in the North Pole, so he imagined what the North Pole animals would be, which was.
Oh wait, he already lived in the North Pole when he was like a Turkish rascal.
I think by the time that my boy Clement gets involved, he is a North Pole resident.
Oh, that's not as strange then.
I think Clement, it may have in fact been one of the people that introduced that concept to it. That's what all of this is. It's like Clement really shaped all of what we now understand to be Santa Claus lore.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
So he took a lot of big swings and made some hits. He really
still doesn't
fucking
sound like
it.
A black dude.
No, it's not a black man at all. He, in fact, I looked him up and I've never seen a whiter man before in my life. Truly looked like somebody tried to draw Thomas Jefferson by heart. You know what I mean?
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It then becomes even more popular because stores start to advertise Christmas shopping in 1820. By the 1840s, newspapers were creating separate sections for holiday advertisements, which often featured images of the newly popular Santa Claus, of Clement's version of Santa Claus.
So this went completely, it's just propaganda.
It's commercialism, dog. Damn, that's all it is. Of course it was is. Just the mall being like, hey, we got to get people to have a reason to buy more stuff.
See, now I don't want them to be black.
At a certain part of the year.
I don't want them to be black. I don't want them to be a tool of capitalism like this.
That honestly was my big takeaway from all of this, was I kept thinking, stop telling little kids that Santa is black. What you need to tell them is that Santa is a white devil trying to trick niggas into buying stuff. Do you know what I mean? Okay. This is
that's
capitalism.
Motherfucking bars, nigga. Fucking you know nothing about that.
Come on. We don't need Black Santa. That's the white man's evil at work right there.
And they can keep that nasty pudding for themselves.
Yeah, I bet Figgy Pudding ain't shit.
Fuck, yeah, I can't believe pudding. We even gave you the time of day.
We were teasing you.
You think I put that in the mouth of a king? You can kiss my three-cornered hat.
Figgy Pudding is for peasants as far as we're concerned.
I want salmon.
I loved it.
It felt good though. So fuck Santa. This is whack. This shit sounds like Valentine's Day.
So it got me thinking about basically, because this continues, right? In 1841, thousands of children get invited to this Philadelphia shop to see a life-size Santa Claus model. And it was basically then put in the newspapers and became this very popular thing for people trying to bring big crowds to their stores and shit, to bring in their own Santa Clauses and life-size models and shit. And then in 1890, the Salvation Army starts dressing up homeless people as Santa Claus and getting them to solicit for money so that they could basically provide for more homeless people.
That must have been a complicated rollout.
Yeah. They're like, we can't find anybody to play Santa Claus. And they're like, I know some guys.
And then for a while, children just think Santa Claus like smells like pee and is mentally ill. That's not a great plan.
Not
all homeless people are mentally ill. Maybe back then it was different.
Yeah, maybe homeless people were just one big hit away from getting off them streets.
Do you give to the Santa Claus on the street? Do you ever give more because it's Christmas?
I don't think I have. I think I give to specific. I don't give to any. No, I'm joking. If I give, I try to give to specific individuals. I feel like the more often an organization is involved, the less that money is able to stretch towards the people it's meant to stretch to.
Especially now via GoFundMe, like you do have to have your like wits about you when you're on there, but it's like a lot easier to just like fix one person's Christmas than
Yeah. And I try to live under the rule that like if somebody's asking and you have it, give it and don't think twice about like the story or what they're gonna do with none of that shit really matters. And like frankly, I wasn't gonna do great shit with it anyway. And so, like, if I got it, you can have it and I don't give a fuck. But once you start adding corporate ties to it, it starts to feel like, oh, okay, well, you're paying somebody's salary and maybe people get pennies out of this and shit.
You heard it here first, folks. Langston Kerman hates charity.
I hate charity and specifically the Salvation Army. Suck my dick. I don't salute your troops, not for one.
I'm with you. Fuck it.
But so they're dressing up homeless people as, or rather they're saying unemployed men, Santa Claus, and then sending them into the streets of New York to solicit donations. And so the popularity grows and grows and grows until suddenly we are now putting Santa Claus on Coca-Cola bottles and shit.
So this is anything born of this kind of cat is bad. I'm not for it.
I'm
more against Santa Claus than I was when we started this.
You should be. He truly is just a scam being run on us by rich people.
Damn.
Now, where it gets fascinating, and I think this is some of what we were excited to talk about in terms of other holiday traditions, is I did start looking up other sort of like depictions of Santa Claus or a Santa Claus-like figure across the world.
That's what I want to know about.
Yeah, there's some fun ones. So in Germany and Switzerland, there's a dude named Christkind, was an angel-like figure often accompanying St. Nicholas on his holiday missions to deliver presents to well-behaved children. So the Swiss and Germans all believe in this Christkind angel sort of like backup singer that rides with St. Nicholas to go do the rest of this shit.
I don't know. If I'm going to have a deity, I don't want him to be the B team.
Yeah, that's real. I don't understand why an angel is sort of like playing backup to.
Yeah. Also, don't you got God shit to be doing?
Yeah, you're a real unfocused angel. And yeah. I think God's going to smite thee when he finds out what you're up to.
Oh, both hands. Chris kind of bad at this. That's what I said.
So then in Scandinavia, a jolly elf named Jultomten, delivers gifts in a sleigh drawn by goats. He's got goats flying him through the air.
I guess that is good, too. The goat's not like a majestic beast.
No, and frankly, not a focused one either. It doesn't seem like goats are
going to...
No,
they eat tin cans.
Yeah, they're going to stop for breaks and shit. Yeah,
shit's all over the place.
Feels like a lot of kids are going to end up without gifts if we're following like Jultomten and his plan.
What else do we got?
So then in Italy, there's a woman called La Befana, who's supposed to be a kindly witch who rides a broomstick down the chimneys to deliver toys into stockings of lucky children. La Befana.
And she gives it to lucky children? I almost like that better.
Oh, that just some kids lucky. Get it. Yeah.
I almost like take the morality out of it. It's a crapshoot. I'm playing dice. Playing dice with these presents.
Doesn't matter if I'm bad or good. I'm truly just praying it ain't snake eyes.
Exactly. Because that one's easier on the parents, too. You have a broke year. Oh, you guys weren't lucky this year.
Damn. Sucks.
Damn.
Maybe next year. We're going to keep working on it. We'll write some letters and see.
Yeah, La Befana, you know, maybe you'll get it next time.
Yeah, she might come. There's also Pierre Noël is French, and he puts stuff in kids' shoes. That's his strategy, I guess, is like small little trinkets and hummuses. I don't know what he's putting in shoes.
Yeah, I don't like that. French bread, weird. You got a cheese.
Yeah, I don't get what his plan is there, but he puts it in the shoes. And then we get to my personal favorite, and I imagine yours as well, which is my boy Black Peter.
That's just a guy I know.
Zwarte Piet.
Oh, is this the reason they wear blackface every year?
Yeah. Now we're getting to the fun stuff. This is specifically a Dutch Scandinavian.
Oh, weird.
No, I think it's like Netherlands type thing. Yeah, Netherlands. That's the
Dutch, the Dutch.
Right?
Fuck them.
Where children are taught to believe that they receive their presents from St. Nicholas, who is accompanied by a black servant called Black Peter, Adults will often dress up as St. Nicholas and Black Peter, a white person painted in blackface, and visit children and adults to St. Nicholas arrives from Spain in November by boat in Holland together with his black servants. So in Spain specifically, they're like, yeah, he comes by boat and he has a bunch of slaves with him. And then in the Netherlands, they're like, yeah, it's just one real popular black slave.
But he's straight up a, like, is there any history? He's just a slave?
Yeah, he's just a slave. I looked it up. It's not, they're not, he's not like a magical slave that does magical things. This is a nigga with a job to
oh,
do.
Oh, guys, just like smoking a cigarette.
Well, here's my big takeaway. And I don't know how this is going to sit with you in this, but Black Peter. And I felt this way. I read all about him, and I felt like there's an argument to be made that Holland is the only place being completely honest about what Santa Claus actually is.
A slave?
No, a slaveholder.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? The same way that there's no way to make $1 billion without like intentionally exploiting a workforce and a massive amount of people, there's no way to make toys for children all around the world without similarly exploiting a work group. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean this is darker than just telling your kids there's no Santa Claus.
Yeah, you do better telling them that he's not real, not a
an active slave named Pete.
Yeah, not a Michael Fassbender type character. You know what I mean? Not a fucking monster.
Pete sounds like a lost people, right? There's no place he came from. Pete doesn't know his origins.
Yeah, Black Peter, he ain't got nothing. There's no history there. They didn't even give him a last name.
He just lives in a license of servitude to St. Nicholas?
Yeah, he just rides around with St. Nicholas handing out gifts that he doesn't really get credit for, it sounds like.
So I think if there's anything to learn from this episode, is that the Dutch are monsters.
Yeah, I think there's a point to be made that maybe they're just being honest, right?
Because yeah, Santa but you Claus just said you want to let a kid be a kid. You know what is not doing that? Tell them about slaves.
Yeah, but at least in this way, they get a moment of just being like, oh, Black Peter, he's like a happy slave. The same way that like, I fucking believe.
I don't
believe
think that's good.
I don't think there's any kid who's racially
going to be like, thank God my parents gave me a leg up by telling me about Black Peter.
I just think that it's a chance to at least get your kids defending themselves from the evils of this world faster by being straight up honest. Santa Claus can't exist without slavery. And we live in America. We don't, or in Holland. White slaves? Are you out of your mind? You think we're gonna enslave white people? That's more fantastical than a man that delivers gifts to every child. Enslaving white? No. So we enslave the black, and his name is Peter.
I don't love this. I don't love this. I don't.
I'm not promoting it.
It feels like promotion. Of all the you weren't pulling that shit to the lucky Italian witch,
because she's not being honest. Why are they lucky? Is this truly a lottery, or are they getting preferential treatment because they live in the neighborhood with the guy who pulls the cards?
Oh man, this is I don't listen. I want you guys to know I'm not for Black Pete. I don't like it.
I'm not for Black Pete, nor am I for Mountain Dew, nor am I for a lot of the things that you keep accusing me of. I am merely saying that in a world where these things exist, we need to acknowledge their effectiveness.
Oh man, I think you just wrote a manifesto. Yo, I.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of Bitcoin. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of Bitcoin on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think there are lessons to be learned from a Black Pete. Do you know what I'm saying? America.
No,
just made...
I gotta say, I think that I started this off. Black Pete makes me pro white Santa.
Whoa.
Black Pete makes me like, just give him the white fucking Santa then. God damn it.
But see, I think that that's making a mistake because it's
why do you want to put slavery in Christmas? It's in so many other things.
Like, because you're already telling me it's in Christmas. Before you learned or we talked about any of this Black Pete shit, you said that Santa had slaves. He has the fucking elves.
That's true.
And so America's just lying to us and going, look at these cute little white, almost not human critters that are Santa's quote unquote happy, pleasant workforce. And instead in Holland, they're like, look at that sad nigga over there having to help him deliver his
look
gifts.
At him.
Look at him. Deal look with whatever him. The fuck that is. And you now do I think they've interpreted it right? No, I do not. But I do think at its core, they're at least giving an honest lesson about what this day is.
I
You gotta be true to yourself, man.
I don't know, man. This seems like a lot for children.
I'm not saying. Listen, again, my daughter will not be raised. I want to be clear.
You got my nigga named Pete come by all sad.
We don't have a Black Pete on the top of our Christmas tree.
You got Michael Jordan eyes. Just drunk and sad. dropping off of Hot Wheels and getting back in his fucking Volkswagen Jetta?
No, we're not.
Damn, man, that's the worst Christmas ever.
We're not going to be promoting Black Pete in this house. My daughter will not be raised knowing Black Pete as an option. But what I will say is that if you are a Dutch person who has lived under Black Pete's unfortunate reign for as long as you have, it's fucked up. It's evil. Shame on you. But also kind of honest.
I mean, the term is brutal honesty, right?
Yeah.
I'm not for Black Pete still. I
feel like I'm. I keep
this whole
saying
thing is
I'm
based
not...
in the honesty. You're like this is the. It's all made up. It's all made up. Christmas is all made up. So now you want to choose honesty when it comes to putting racism in or slaves in there? No, yeah. Man, I don't want any children.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I want
yeah.
any Black kids to be like, that looks like my uncle.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't think. That I think, and again, the effectiveness, I think that's why you put a white man in blackface, so that it doesn't look like anybody's uncle. It truly is just a non-comparable fucking little caricature. How do you say that word?
I can't put my finger on it, but my heart knows this is evil. My heart knows you're speaking evil right now.
But I'm saying it's evil. I acknowledge it's evil.
Okay.
I'm just saying evil and honesty are not always fully separate entities.
That's fair. That's fair. I still don't fuck with that.
Well, I did also look up. I know clearly you don't fuck with it, and you've sort of acknowledged a bunch of this already. I did want to look up if there are any Santa Claus traditions in primarily African countries or black countries, and it doesn't seem like there is at all. Like, it doesn't seem like a lot of Africans especially fuck with Santa Claus at all. Now, I will say, y'all got Christmas. Because colonization and all the shit.
Yeah.
Like, you're not exempt from Christmas, but you don't... Y'all just, like, go to church and get dinner and shit, it seems like.
Yeah, it's
like.
A pretty reasonable day. We're gonna have all this magic lumps of coal and breaking and entering in your house, fucking bringing the black slave along. Now, let's just go to Christmas, be happy for Jesus, get a couple presents, we're out.
Yeah, be happy. Hey, Jesus, you made it. That's pretty cool.
Appreciate you.
You didn't live very long, but you did get here, and that's cool.
And you didn't live very long. You also had like 13 missing years or something, right?
Yeah, no, you did some fucked up shit that old Joseph and Mary had to get wiped off the record. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You had to get Fresh Prince of Bel-Air for a minute. Come back. Yeah,
right. You got in one little fight and your mom got scared. And that story is probably a little deeper than you've made it seem, Will. You know what I mean? Well, I think a little more happened that day than just a ball bounced off a man's head and suddenly you had to move to Bel Air. Let's be honest. You had a history with that gentleman.
I think you killed a guy.
So yeah, I don't think that that many African countries seem to give a fuck about Santa Claus in particular. It seems like there is a already sort of like pre-cooked awareness that this is just consumerism at play here, that Santa Claus don't got nothing to do with that.
It developed completely outside of that part of the world, right? I want to know what South Americans are doing.
Oh, I don't actually know.
I don't think they fuck with that shit either.
Oh, I feel like, that's tough. That is tough.
Yeah, tell me what you I've never known South Americans or even Mexican. I never really know, as far as in my life, I've never really known them to seem like to fuck with that shit either.
Yeah, Olivia is typing Noche Buena, which is the good night.
Does that mean good night?
If I'm not mistaken, but are you suggesting that oh, it's celebrating more Christmas Eve than it is even Christmas Day, it sounds
like. But there's no man who comes to your home.
There's no like Mexican Santa Claus, I guess is the big question.
See, I didn't think so. No. That's what I'm telling. So that means, so then you look at the world as a whole, right? South America, Central America doesn't fuck with it. Africa doesn't fuck with it. The Middle East doesn't fuck with it. Asia, as far as I understand, does not fuck with it. I guess Turkey, Eurasia. So this is a purely European sentiment.
Yeah, and Turkey doesn't really fuck with it. They did fuck with it, and then it got washed into some other people's shit, and now they're like, man, whatever.
So that means this is just like a figment of the Dutch imagination.
Yeah, no, it's white. It's white trickery at its most fundamental. At its finest.
This is at the highest level. Nobody else gives a fuck about that shit, man.
Damn.
I'm back off. I'm you're back off Santa Claus.
Sounds like you're back on the Black Pete train. Let's go. Hey,
No. No man
anything
in your house.
Is possible.
Oh yeah, I don't want nothing to do with it. I knew that I didn't like this. I didn't like this.
Well, I think we solved it. I do think we nailed this episode at its core. It sounds like Santa Claus is truly just some made up white people shit to mostly trick us into spending more money than we have.
I think we did it. I feel good about it.
So black people stop buying into a black Santa. That's just a long con to make you personally invested in your own destruction. And white people, keep up the good work. You're nailing it. We're we're all really proud of you, and you have nothing to regret. Surely white Jesus will celebrate you and kiss you on your forehead when you make it up to white heaven.
Bye, bitch.
Wait, tell everybody where they can find you.
It felt like a logical closing point. You can find me at Cool Guy Jokes 87 on Instagram. I post all the stuff I'm doing there. And, you know, just keep coming out to see me. I really appreciate it. It's nice to see you in person. And, you know, fuck Black Pete. Not fuck Black Pete. Fuck the institution that spawned Black Pete. Sure. Black Pete is just a man working hard, and I don't want to be against that.
All right. Well, you can follow me at Langston Kerman.
Also, www.blackpete.biz. Send Langston an email.
You can follow me at Langston Jelani Kerman on all platforms. Jelani, stay out of my goddamn emails. And as always, if you want to send us your drops, your conspiracy theories, your suggestions of what we should do with Black Pete and Santa Claus. And personally, I do believe that Bori's against it, but I believe that Black Pete deserves sex too. So I'm not sure what happened where he's like, Black Pete should go sexless and enslaved for the rest of his life. But if you want to fuck Black Pete, I say
fuck
go
Black
for
Pete,
it.
Please. He needs it.
Suck on
some
Black
Pete. Your hair is going to smell like Newports, but other than that.
But if you want to send us your conspiracies, send them to mymamapod@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. And happy holidays. Bye, bitch.
I can go anywhere.
Suck my dick.
Black P.
Hi, bitch. We're back.
You thought we were gone, but we're back, bitch. And we've got something exciting to tell you. Very exciting stuff to let you know about.
Big news. First big news on the table starting December 20th, right?
Mm-hmm. December 20th, 2022.
We're on YouTube. You asked for it, you animals, and we're giving it to you, you filthy pigs.
You filthy fucking pigs.
Full episodes of My Mama Told Me streaming on YouTube. You can watch Langston laugh, me lick my lips because I don't know what's going on. I'm worried that I'm in some dry lip phase. I've been using chapstick. It's not going good.
Oh, no. You're in your dry era. But yeah. Guess what? We're wet with content, baby, because it's all on YouTube. It's available for you to view. You've been asking about it, and there it is. And even more exciting, this is another little scrumptious thing that we get to offer you is we are doing a live show. Finally, we are, David and I are finally going to be live in front of our eights and maybe even tens of fans doing a live episode of My Mama Told Me. It's going to be at the Elysian Theater here in Los Angeles on February 16th. 2023. We're really excited. We would love for you to be there. The tickets, the information is all going to be linked here on the YouTube that we promised is now available. So click the goddamn link, you idiot. We did all this work. You better click it and you better show up.
Mazel tov, bitch.
Coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.